Preachers who basically get one-time preaching opportunities should limit their expectations. That's our key sentence for our podcast today, and we welcome you to our SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, we have a question today from an associate pastor. This pastor wants to know how effective your preaching can be when you only get to speak, say, once every 3 or 4 months.
That's a very perceptive question, and though it may seem strange, I can identify with it a great deal. You know, I've pastored, I was on radio and television, so you had a daily program, but now usually when I preach, it's a one-time spot. I will go to a church if I get to preach in the morning. Usually they don't have a Sunday night service, so I get a one chance to be with those people and maybe come back and get there another year later, that kind of a thing. So I think it's a problem that I can not only hear with my ears, but I can feel it deep in my gut. And what it means is that you recognize that as the person who is the guest or as the person who's the associate, you're not going to change the world with one preaching spot. So you come to the place where you say, I limit my expectations. So I don't think I'm going to change many, many, many people. I don't think I'm going to bring revival with this one time. It's possible, but that's a very low percentage that's going to happen. And you basically say, how do I reduce what I'm saying to something that says, in this one time that I have, I think I can pull this off, okay? I think that this is a question that many women will be able to identify with. I talked with a woman the other day, and she brought this very question up. She says, how much can I expect to have happen? Well, they only ask me to speak maybe once every 2 or 3 years, which is even more difficult. Incredibly talented speaker. And I said to her, I think you are very wise. And she said, if I could just get so that I could speak every week, that would be very, very thrilling to me. And I said to her, you know, sometimes I get a chance to do an Advent series or a fill-in for somebody series. And I've done that enough times that I'd be happy to recommend you next time. And she almost cried, which was very interesting because nobody had ever said to her, you have value what you say. She's a teacher by trade. She's a phenomenal teacher. And when she has had opportunity to speak to people from a ministerial perspective, she's very, very good. But she's frustrated because she doesn't get to speak nearly enough.
What expectations did you have when you were preaching regularly?
Well, that's another good question. Literally, this is how I thought, Dean. A baseball player, if they're a star and they're hitting 300 in the major leagues, they're multimillionaires. I mean, that's great stuff. There are a whole lot of incredibly talented athletes who are playing in the minor leagues, and they're hitting maybe 200. And then they're a slug sounds like a baseball term. There are a slug of people who are good athletes, and if they really wanted to, they might play semi-pro ball. They're basically just very good athletes, and if you put them in a major league, they're going to hit 027, something like that. So where I am in my preaching mind, I think, okay, that's where it is in the baseball world. If I can affect, say, 10% of the people who are listening to me on a given day, I have had a phenomenal day. And that doesn't seem like very much, but even, you know, you go to the huge rallies that Billy Graham held. If he got 8-10% of the people to walk to the front at his invitation time, I mean, it looked like a huge number of people, but percentage-wise, it wasn't all that great. So when you asked me when I was preaching regularly, what were my expectations? They were pretty much what they are now, maybe a little bit above, because I had the tremendous advantage of week after week after week building on things. But I would say if I could get even 5-7% of the people to do what I was saying, I was hugely successful, because if the following week I could get another 5-7% of the people who were there to do what I was saying, over a period of time, those numbers begin to grow and you've affected a large number of lives. I found that it was great advantage to be able to have a daily radio program where 6 days a week I was able to come and just deliver, build on what I had said, repeat, repeat, repeat. I was quite surprised at how effective that ministry could be when I asked for specific response to what I was asking, say on a 50-day adventure or something. It was amazing to me the number of people who responded, but it was infinitesimal compared to the number of people who were listening. You know, that's just the way it is. So in my mind, if I come as the guest speaker and say I affect in a serious way, maybe even a profound way, 5-7% of the people, I've been highly successful. That's a whole lot better than thinking there's just going to be droves of people just waiting on my every word to see what could happen. I remember a recent time when I was the guest speaker, and I spoke because you were involved in getting that invitation from me. And I had a word from the Lord. I really felt I did. The truth is, nobody paid one lick of attention to it. And it basically went off. You know, that people talked about it. Maybe that was a good thing that was said and so on, but nobody ever followed up on it. But I, through my time of prayer and everything, felt this was from the Lord. But at the same time, does that bother me? No. My responsibility is not how people respond to what is said, but whether I delivered it in such a way that they could hear that there was seriousness and this is the Lord speaking to you from somebody who's walked with him for a while. So it's just the whole thing of expectation. I think it's important for a younger person. I would say if you only speak, you know, one time every 3 or 4 months, and you want to become someone who opens the word regularly, find another place, not leave the church, but find a Sunday school class, find a youth group, find a Bible study where you're on a regular basis interacting with the word to be able to share with others. Because it's important. You'll dry up on the stem if you think every 4 months I'm going to get a chance to do that, because it'll probably be 8 months. And even if you do very well, it doesn't mean necessarily you're going to be asked again. So it's a good question. I like the question.
Really, you've answered this question, but here's the question that was asked. Can you think back on your life and not getting opportunities to preach? What did you do? And you've already kind of given some suggestions, but what other things can you do when you're not asked to
preach?
It's
hard, you know, especially when you're a younger person. I remember in those early years just struggling because I could not buy places to preach, thinking maybe I missed my calling because I'm listening and it's like this word is burning inside of you. I basically did exactly the advice that I'm giving. I remember when two specific churches, I took a class that was so small, it was pitiful. I mean, you're talking about you may be half the class when it begins, but over a period of months, we must have ended up with 75 or 80 people in that class. It created problems for me because there are jealousy factors that come in terms of church and whatever. Nobody said it could be done, but it was a great thing for me in the sense that the Lord was saying to me, yes, I affirm the gifts that you have. Did I think I was the greatest preacher in the world at that point? I probably did. You know, it was stupid enough to think I probably was. Wherever that went, I don't know, but the earlier thing was that the Lord was saying, yes, I did call you into ministry. I will open doors for you. And I've also found that sometimes in my later years, because, you know, I'm getting close to being 80, I can't travel all over the country like I used to. The Lord said to me, you don't have to always speak in person to do something. You can write, which has resulted in many books. That's another way to be able to find expression. There are other things that are communication techniques that you can use, you and your wife, when we went on radio. You can do it together. They're just, I think this is another way. Dean, I have a ministry that shares lessons the Lord has taught me down through the years that if other people tune in and want to hear things, you know, they'll learn. I would probably, if you ask me, in all honesty, would I rather be asked to do a sermon on a given topic for a church or do another podcast with you, even though I come a good distance to come and meet with you, I would choose to do it with you because that's more enjoyable to me. We've worked together. It's just a fun time. And I look forward to it very much. Whereas when I go into a church where I don't know anyone, I'm going to do that in another week. Next week, I will go to a church. It happens to be in Iowa, which is not my home state. And I will go there, but it will be hard for me because I don't know those people. So I don't know if I have a word from the Lord for them. I've struggled with it. What do I actually want to speak? And I probably won't get a whole lot of feedback from what goes on. You know, you and I, this is fun. At the same time, it has value, I believe. So they're all different ways that the Lord works in our lives. I kind of get to play the granddaddy role, in a way, to the church and say, I've walked a lot of miles. Let me share some of what I've learned along the way. And that's a good thing for me. And I would rather do that than preach. Anyway, I'm rambling now. But it answers your question.
Indeed. I'm curious, in looking over the questions this individual has sent us, do you think this associate pastor is a man or a woman?
I don't know, but I would say percentage-wise, if I had a chance to vote, I'd say it's a man, because that's usually who is going to be in ministry. I would like for it to be a woman, because I think women have a huge amount to contribute, and they have far greater barriers to overcome, and I want to encourage them in every way. The specific woman I was referring to before, of all the younger people in ministry, she is one of the most incredibly talented persons. And because of being a school teacher, all that was phenomenal background for her. I've heard her speak twice, and I was there in person. So I saw her as well, which was encouraging because she used visuals. And she was talking to, it was almost like she was teaching a fourth or fifth grade class, but it didn't seem like she was speaking down to them. But she had she was using a psalm where it says, "Open your mouth and I will fill it." And she used this picture of these robins with their mouths all up waiting for the... And she had a whole series that she had put together on a teaching basis. And that picture just stuck in my mind. So she was very good, extremely good, and creative far more so than most men I've listened to who are skilled. So, and she didn't have any sense of this, she doesn't know what she's doing. She was totally on top. In fact, there was a young man I took to that meeting who was a brand new believer and come out of gang life. And I saw him about 2 weeks later, and I said, "Are you still retaining what so-and-so said in her message?" "Oh, yeah," he said, "I think of all of that all the time." I said, "What do you think?" He said, "I keep putting the wrong food in my mouth, and I am not letting the Lord come and put the right food in my mouth." I thought, praise the Lord, that is really neat. So I don't know. Does it have it's just initials, nothing more than that, huh?
No indication, but hopefully we've sufficiently answered the questions. And we've also drawn out the key thought that preachers who basically get one-time preaching opportunities should limit their expectations, but they should also take advantage of every possible opportunity to use the gifts the Lord has given them.
You know what that gal did, which was interesting to me? She was talking about putting the right things in your mouth, and part of that was scripture, and it just was a sideline comment she made, but it made a lot of difference to me, and I tried it. She said, "What I would suggest, if the Word of God seems boring to you, it says it's like honey on your tongue." She said, "Have you got honey in the house?" She said, "Before you read the scripture, just go dip your finger in the honey, put it on your tongue and get that taste, and then say, now I'm going to go to the Word, which is like honey on my tongue." And I tried that. It was very interesting. And one time was enough. And I just thought it gave a whole new beauty and sweetness to the Lord's Word. It was a good word, but it would never have come, I don't think, from a man, but it came from a woman.
Praise God. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found our podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.